Welcome to Ask Prof Brewer. I'm David Brewer, and I'm a pastor and teacher at Emmaus Bible Church in West Bend, Wisconsin. Thanks so much for joining me. In today's session, we'll continue our series on the book of Revelation, and this is part 82, I had to check. Part 82, and we're going to start with Revelation 6:5. And actually, before we start with that verse, we'll talk about some practical application that flows from the previous verses. Okay, the first point is trust and faith in God's sovereignty. So these verses encourage believers to trust God's sovereignty. This means acknowledging God's control over the past, present, and future, and it encourages individuals to trust Him, knowing that His plans will ultimately prevail. The second point is comfort in uncertain times. So these verses can offer comfort during difficult and uncertain times by reminding individuals that God is in control. So knowing God has a plan and purpose for all things can provide assurance and peace during challenges. And also, it can provide us with the reassurance in God's unchanging nature. So the repetition of the phrase, "I am God and there is no other," we're talking about passages in Isaiah, reinforces God's unchanging nature. So in practical terms, this can serve as a reminder that despite the changing circumstances of life, God remains constant and reliable. And the last point is submission to God's will. So these verses encourage us to submit to God's will and plans. Practically, this involves aligning one's life with God's purposes, surrendering personal desires to His more excellent design, and actively seeking to live to follow His guidance. Okay, so the next thing we'll talk about is verses 5 and 6, so let's turn there in our Bibles. So the second seal was war. What we were talking about the last podcast is it's very typical for war to result in famine. So we see that in this particular, the third seal judgment, and this is verses 5 and 6. So let's read the text. "Then when he broke or opened the third seal, I heard the third living creature saying, 'Come.'" So remember what we said before? Do you see or did you hear any indication that this is God's wrath, not man's or Satan's wrath or the world's wrath? I'll read it again. "Then when he broke or opened the third seal, I heard the third living creature saying, 'Come.'" So the lamb who is mentioned in the previous chapter, who's a lion in the lamb, Revelation 5, he's the one that initiates all these seal judgments. So that's very, it's very clear that God is the one. This is God's wrath. The Lamb initiates this. And also, whenever it says "come," that shows that God's in control as well. The third living creature says "come." That's an order. That's a command. And then the rider on the horse responds to that command then by riding. So of course, the living creatures are under the authority of the Lord. So God's the one in complete control. So that's a problem to get theology from reading books instead of reading the text. If you didn't read any theology books, and I have 10,000 books, I'm not against books, but if a person learned theology mainly just by reading the text over and over and over and over again, I don't think we would get these viewpoints like Lordship Salvation, Calvinism, Arminianism, mid-trib, that the rapture is halfway through the tribulation or three-quarters of the way through, or there's no distinction between the second coming and the rapture. I don't think we would get any of these viewpoints if people just read the text and not read a lot of theology books, which sometimes they can be really good, but sometimes they can distort the text as well. So the color of black symbolizes mourning, and see Jeremiah 4:28 and Malachi 3:14. And also refers to famine. So the balance scale, which we're going to see, actually what I'll do, let's read the next verse and then we'll make these comments. So in verse 5 it says, "So I looked and here came a black horse. and the one who sat on it had a balance scale, a pair of scales in his hand. And then verse 6, that I heard something like a voice from among the center of the four living creatures saying, a quart or 2 pounds of wheat for a denarius, or it will cost a denarius, that's a day's pay, and 3 quarts, that's about 6 pounds of barley, will cost a denarius, a day's pay. And do not damage, there's a couple ways we could translate this, don't damage, don't harm, don't waste the oil and the wine. Let's go back and just make some additional comments. So as far as the balance scale, that was probably a weighing device consisting of 2 round metal plates hanging by strings or ropes to a short wooden or metal pole held in the rider's hand. So Leviticus 26:26 and Ezekiel 4:16, the image of eating bread based on weight symbolizes terrible scarcity. So the 3 main crops of Israel were corn, wine, and oil. And these 3 are always mentioned when the land crops are described. And you can read Deuteronomy 7:13, Deuteronomy 11:14, Deuteronomy 28:51, and Hosea 2:8, Hosea 2:22. So the logical outcome of the world war is famine. So as food distribution systems break down, riots shut down cities, and we talked about this before, so I won't repeat it. I started to repeat it, but and what we said before as well is oil and wine are not staples for survival, but they're luxury items. So that with any dictatorship, the ruling elite will enjoy abundance, while vast populations starve with little or no means of finding their way out of the terrible famine conditions. So this is a really awful time. So in this verse, it mentions wheat and barley, and that refers to flour, not the grain itself. So barley was cheaper than wheat and was eaten by the poor and domestic work animals. So although some commentators suggest that oil and wine were really luxury items, and it's actually debatable, so I'm not really sure how to take it. I don't think we have enough information to be super dogmatic, but this is another possibility. It seems more probable to take them as staples needed for a normal diet at that time. So it can go either way. Are they staples or are they luxury items? I don't think we're going to lose too much sleep over it. So let's continue. So John is foretelling a situation in which a man's whole working wage would be needed to buy enough corn for himself for a day, leaving absolutely nothing. Actually, enough wheat, sorry, not corn. Leaving nothing to purchase for the other necessities of life and absolutely nothing for his wife and family. So only for himself, and he doesn't have enough for his whole family. So John was telling of the signs to precede the end. We've seen that he was nevertheless painting them in actual historical situations that men would recognize. So there had been desperate famines in the time of Nero, which left the luxury of the rich untouched. There was an occasion when a ship arrived in Italy from Alexandria. The starving populace thought it was a corn ship, for all the corn ships came from Alexandria, and they rioted when they discovered that the cargo was not corn, but a special kind of sand from the Nile Delta, to spread upon an arena's ground for a gladiatorial show. This passage finds a fantastic echo in certain events during the reign of Domitian, at the very time when John was writing. There was a severe shortage of grain and also a superabundance of wine, so Domitian took the drastic step of enacting the law that no fresh vineyards should be planted and that half of the vineyards in the provinces should be cut down. So at this edict, the people of the province of Asia, in which John was writing, came very near to rebelling, for their vineyards were one of their principal sources of revenue. So given the violent reaction of the people of Asia, Domitian, the emperor, rescinded his edict and enacted that those who allowed their vineyards to go out of cultivation should be prosecuted. So here is a very picture of a situation in which corn was scarce, and it was forbidden to interfere with the supply of wine and oil. So if we go with the view that the oil and wine are luxury items, that's one possibility. The other view is that they're staples. So then if that's the case, this is a picture of famine set alongside of luxury. There's always something radically wrong when some have too much and others too little. This is always a sign that the society in which it occurs is hastening to its ruin. That was from William Barclay's commentary. So kind of very insightful comments. So at the end of the siege of Samaria, in the days of Prophet Elisha, 7 quarts of wheat flour were sold for a shekel and 13 quarts of barley for the same price. If you look at 2 Kings 7, verses 1, 16, and 18. So the mission of the horse rider was to cause some commercial chaos or permit market manipulation or control, which generally goes hand in hand with a crisis like severe war or conflict. So it seems natural for this seal to follow the previous seal's judgment. So for someone like the Antichrist to gain worldwide dominance, world economies will need to be in great distress. So even though the Antichrist will think he is rising to power alone, God will be orchestrating these events from heaven. So typically, oil and wine are the most expensive food products around the world. So the lifestyles of the wealthier inhabitants of the earth might be less affected by these early judgments of the tribulation. It's been seen in the aftermath of wars that the very wealthy walk past the poor and the starving without any sense of pity. This may be a case this time if you interpret the oil and wine to be luxury items. So the difference between wheat and barley has long been considered to be the difference between the bread of the poor and those who are better off. So barley consisted of a rougher grain, generally more readily available and less expensive than wheat. This is precisely the picture presented here, since 3 dry measure quarts of barley are available for the exact cost as 1 dry measure quart of wheat. So severe famine will result from war, since crops will be destroyed, and this is so severe that money will buy only 1/8 of the regular quantity of foods. So it's pretty bad situation, and everything is falling apart, and we shouldn't be too surprised at that with the Antichrist taking over. So famines commonly follow military conflict, and we talked about that earlier. So terrible situation, but we see in spite of this that in spite of how bad it is, Jesus Christ, who is God, remains in complete control. So this particular famine occurs in the future 7-year tribulation. But today the church in our country is experiencing a spiritual famine. It's becoming more secular, and we shouldn't allow our pagan culture to influence us negatively. So some church members may prioritize pursuing wealth, possessions, and a comfortable lifestyle over spiritual growth. So while technology can provide new avenues for spiritual connection, we all know from experience it can also contribute to distractions in a fast-paced lifestyle that leaves little time for deep contemplation and spiritual nourishment. So technology is not necessarily harmful, but as we said a little bit ago, it can contribute to distraction. So communities may be less tightly knit in an area in an era of individualism and mobility than in the past. So far we've looked at the advent of the Antichrist, that's the first seal judgment, and then war, that was the second in verses 3 and 4. And in this episode, we looked at famine, which is the third seal judgment in verses 5 and 6. Now, the next time, we'll talk about seal number 4, and that's death, and that's verses 7 and 8 of chapter 6. So thank you so much for joining me in today's Ask Prof. Brewer. And if you want this PowerPoint, I have a lot of resources on the Emmaus Bible Church website. If you want that link, you can feel free to write me an email at brewerhebrewprof@gmail.com, or you can send me a text at 848-226-4306. So thank you so much for joining me in today's Ask Prof. Brewer. Write me anytime if you don't agree with something I said or if I made a mistake. I'm really happy to have you correct me, and I can always learn from everybody. And that's the key to remain, to have a humble and teachable spirit and allow people to correct you. So always enjoy hearing from you. So I appreciate you taking the time to listen in today's session. We'll see you next time on Ask Prof. Brewer. Love you all. Shalom.